You ready?
All right. Well, praise the Lord. It's great to be here this evening. Welcome those of us here and those of us online. If you would, stand if you can, and we're going to start out by singing, "We Are an Offering." You can think up a pick of him if you like.
We lift our hands, we lift our lives up to you. We are an offering, Lord. Use our voices, Lord. Use our hands, Lord. Use our lives, they are yours. We are an offering.
As grace flows down and covers me,
covers me. It covers me.
They just do it on the. Yeah, they do it on the audio file. Yeah. Yeah, it's not me. It's the piano player. Yeah, the bouncing ball. There you go. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name.
Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, y'all, anybody got to pick a hymn this evening? 83. Let's do 83. Oh, well, we just did 83. We can do it again if you want. Yeah. Anybody got another? All right. 779. Okay. All fly away on 779. Amen. Yeah. All right. Well, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. All fly away, oh glory, all fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, all fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, all fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, all fly away. All fly away, oh glory, all fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, all fly away. Just a few more weary days and then all fly away to a land where joy shall never end. All fly away. All fly away, oh glory, all fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, all fly away.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, any others?
Reprise? No.
Good to see each and every one of you tonight. Huh? Oh, do you want to sing one? All right, well. No solo. I sing so low they can't hear me. Amen. All right, praises tonight. Anybody got one? Praise.
We got some rain, but we didn't get a big storm.
Praise the Lord. It sounded like a big storm was coming, though, didn't it? Whoo, mercy. The ground was shaking. Blah, 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 blah. Did your... Yeah. Yeah, a couple of... Blah, 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 blah. You could feel the ground rumbling. Something else. Right. All right, praise the Lord for the rain. Boy, we've been getting the good rain, I'll tell you.
Can't mow the grass, though.
Too muddy. Yes, ma'am.
My son mowed the grass last night.
All right.
Yeah. And I had to help him rake it up.
Oh, no. Well, Miss Bicky's grass got cut. All right. Was it tall? Was your grass high? All right, amen. Very good. What else? Any other praises?
I have a praise and a prayer.
Okay.
I'm going to try to make it clear to what I think was meant by the request from my son.
Okay.
In a letter he wrote, first the praise is that in the letter he wrote to us, he said to his dad and I, "Thank you for raising me right."
Oh, man, yeah.
Which, you know, that's a blessing to a mom and dad's heart.
Yeah.
Then he followed it up with, I'm not going to read what he wrote because it was a little confusing, but I think what he meant was he sees a lot of the other recruits around him that probably were not raised right.
Yeah.
And he's just feeling maybe a little heavy-hearted. So my prayer request is that he be a light that shines everyone around him towards God.
Amen.
Because he's reading his Bible. He's telling me he's up to Matthew 16, and I'm sending him, you know, prayer, you know, verses every day and letters and things like that. So I'm sure it's not really dark or anything like that, but, you know, the kids these days just don't know God.
Yeah, that's
right. And he does, and, you know, he's pretty convicted in his beliefs, and, you know, I'm just hoping he doesn't, you know, fall away thinking that, you know, he's the outside guy or whatever.
Right.
I just want him to be able to be strong.
Amen.
And I don't know your son, dear, but let me say this. Please keep encouraging him. Please keep encouraging him to do the things that you've described to us here.
Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they, all his fellow recruits, that they may see your good works.
Amen.
And glorify your Father who is in heaven. Remind him of that. Don't Amen. Let his light be put under a bushel.
That was your grandfather's favorite verse.
Keep it shining.
Yeah, and I reminded him, I sent that verse to him today.
Amen.
Let your light so shine.
Amen. 516? Yeah. That's a good one. All right, any other praises? Anybody online got a praise? No? All right. Prayer requests.
I got one.
Okay.
I heard my coworker Arnaldo had to go back to the hospital, and maybe he's back home by now. I think they had to drain more fluid or something.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, I pray that he heals up.
And the fluid they're drawing is coming from?
Yeah, I was hearing third-party news, just overhearing it, and so I just want to pray for him.
Okay, pray
still,
for
yeah,
healing.
He's not back yet.
All right, Arnaldo, pray for his healing, okay. And then, Brother John, you got Barbara Manning. Still in Willowbrook. Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right, what else?
Yeah, I do have another one for myself. I was given a new responsibility today at work that I've been a little overwhelmed by, so just need some assurance that I'm up to the task.
All right.
It's more of a lead position than what I'm used to, so.
Okay.
Ooh, you get to chew people out, huh?
Huh. All right, work responsibility. You got it, Sharon. We'll lift that up.
And Brother Lee, we have a mother that just brought her children over to Owana. She frequents over there. Her name's Jackie.
Jackie?
I think she might be related to Miss Loopy or
know
a friend of Loopy. I think she came to service here a couple of times.
Yeah, okay.
She's going to be having a hysterectomy.
All right, Jackie.
She's going to pre-op on the 15th, and surgery will be on the 1st of March.
All right.
So we gathered around her and prayed with her that everything goes well. Okay.
Right. Amen, man. All right, Jackie, we'll pray for that surgery. And then Barbara Manning, we'll continue to pray for her healing. She's still in Willowbrook.
I haven't heard any more details, but Jeremiah Andrews, not Allison Andrews, his father had a heart attack, lives up in Indiana somewhere. And haven't heard any more details, but continue to pray for him, that family situation.
What's the name?
His father's name, I forgot, to be honest with you, Brother Lee.
But what's the son?
Jeremiah Andrews.
Jeremiah Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, his father, heart attack.
Yes. 66, I believe.
All right. Heart attack, father. All right, all right. Anything else?
Yeah, pray for our country.
Amen.
In light of the speech last night. And pray for our state, our community, our schools.
State.
And thank you for that praise from Justin.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. That's a blessing. One more prayer? Sure.
I just need one more prayer request.
Okay.
For my daughter, my grandchildren. They're all sick again with bronchitis.
Uh-oh.
The croup and all that kind of stuff. So it's just going around in their family. But they're in Belton, so they're kind of far away.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course, we have some unspokens, Brother Lee, in the house.
Yes, those of you with unspokens.
Amen.
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 For the earthquakes in Turkey.
Oh, yeah, Syria and Turkey, that's right.
For
12,000. Oh, so tragic.
I think you have a Ronnie Holman down.
Yes.
And for my Ronnie.
Yes. All right. Anything else?
Yeah, it was a shame watching them buildings collapse over there on TV.
Oh,
wasn't
gosh, it?
It
was horrific.
Man, contractor's in trouble, isn't he?
Man, it's hard to just wrap your head around that.
Or,
yeah.
What was that, a 7.8 or something?
It was a big earthquake.
And over 400 buildings in that city.
Wow. 400 buildings.
People couldn't get out in time.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
400 buildings here. They looked at about 200. So there's 200 buildings. They haven't even got to even
touched.
Look.
Yeah.
So that's what a prayer is for those people.
Yeah. Amen. All right.
Don't forget, Brother Lee, we have the Sweetheart Banquet, Adult Sweetheart Banquet.
That's Saturday.
This Saturday.
Saturday at 5.
5 o'clock. And if anybody hasn't contacted Miss Virginia, give her a call or me.
Yeah.
And we'll get you on the list.
Amen.
All right.
All right, all right. Anything else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer then, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we're thankful that, Lord, we can gather in this place, and we've got a warm spot, Lord, and a dry place to meet. We praise you and thank you for that. Many people across the world seeking to worship you, some even at this very hour, they don't have near what we have. And so, Lord, we're thankful that we can gather in relative comfort in this dry place, warm place, to worship you, sing praises to your name, have a sound system, and, Lord, all the technology that we have, we just praise you and thank you for that. Forgive us when we take it all for granted. We just are thankful, Lord, of all that you do for us and how you bless us. We're thankful for our salvation. We praise you for that grace and that mercy, that forgiveness that we have through the blood of Christ. We praise you and thank you for that. Lord, as we think about the rain today, we praise you for more rain. And Lord, you just keep filling our cup, and we just keep going to keep thanking you for it. Thank you that there was no damage in the area that we've heard of so far, but Lord, just a good, refreshing rain, and we praise you and thank you for that. We thank you for Miss Bickey and her praise that she got some landscape work done, got the high grass cut. And so, Lord, we're thankful and praise you for that. And then, Lord, we're thankful for Justin's testimony of having a good upbringing and having his parents raise him right in church and sow seeds of salvation in his heart. That's a great testimony and a and a proud parent moment for sure. So we give you praise for that tonight. Thank you for the Christian home. Lord, as we think about these prayer requests, we also lift up Justin to you there in basic training. And we just pray you help him be a light for Christ among the darkness where he's at. And Lord, just help him speak truth to his fellow recruits in love. And Lord, we pray that many seeds of salvation would be sown in the hearts of the young men that are in and around Justin. And Lord, even perhaps you would give Justin an opportunity to show somebody what it means to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So, Lord, we're thankful for Justin. He's almost kind of like a missionary from us out there in basic training. Lord, we pray you anoint him, just protect him, lead, guide, and direct him, Lord, as he seeks to become what you've called him to become there in the military. Lord, we continue on. We lift up Arnaldo in the hospital. We pray for his healing. Pray that he might get released today or this evening. And Lord, we just pray you touch his body. We continue to pray for Barbara Manning and her continued recovery and healing, Lord. We pray you watch over her, keep her infection free there at Willowbrook. And Lord, we just pray you see her through. We lift up Sharon's prayer request about this additional work responsibility. We pray that you might give her the strength and the wisdom to rise up to that new responsibility, Lord, and just give her the tools, give her the know-how, give her the direction on what she needs to do there with that extra responsibility. We pray for this Jackie, one of our Awana's kids' mothers, who's having surgery on March 1st. We pray that that would go well, that, Lord, you would help her with the recovery of that, that there would be no infection, no secondary infection, Lord, that she would heal well from the surgery. Lord, we're just lifting Jackie up. Just pray that you guide the surgeon's hands, be with the anesthesiologist, all the nurses that will be a part of that surgical procedure. We just lift Jackie up to you this evening. Jeremiah Andrews, we pray for his father in this recovery of a heart attack. Lord, we pray that his heart would come back, there not be any kind of permanent damage, that, Lord, they'd be able to just get him lined out. And Lord, if he needs a bypass or stents or whatever it may be, Lord, we pray they'd get that worked out. And Mr. Andrews would get back to health and healing. Lord, in the midst of what is quickly becoming the next political election season, we pray for our country. Lord, we pray for your perfect will to be done. We pray for our state. We pray for our community, Lord. We pray for our schools, and we pray for protection for our kids and children. Lord, watch over them. Just help them, protect them. And Lord, just all the meanness that's in and around schools, Lord, we pray that you just keep it out of some of these schools and spare some of these kids from it. Lord, we lift up Sharon's daughter and her grandchildren in the midst of their sickness. Pray that you would see them through there in Belton, help them get over it. And Lord, we just pray that nothing else would come against them at this time. Lord, as we think about the unspokens that are among us tonight, we're thankful that we can voice those to you, and that, Lord, you hear us, and that, Lord, you're sovereign and in control. Father God, we praise you tonight for helping us, for holding us with those unspokens, for encouraging us along the way, for taking those unspokens from us one more service, one more time. We praise you for that. Lord, our hearts are heavy when we think about what has transpired in Turkey and Syria with this incredible earthquake, natural disaster. We pray for the people that have lost loved ones. Lord, we pray that you give them comfort, that you help them try to make sense of everything that's gone on. Many of the children are in shock. Many of the people there are going to struggle with this for some time. Lord, we pray for the different aid workers and the different aid groups that are coming from all over the world to be a part of that effort to try to find folks that are still alive. We pray that you protect them, that you help them, that you give them supernatural strength to to do those long, long days with very little rest, very little food. Lord, we pray that you just help them do what they've got to do there. And then, Lord, as the days turn into weeks and they begin to recover bodies, Lord, we just pray that you might continue to comfort those people and help them. Lord, I pray in the midst of all that loss, there might be some Christians in the mix and might be able to point some folks to Christ, explain what the gospel means, and Lord, out of this huge tragedy, there might be some spiritual awakening go on in those two places, Syria and Turkey. Lord, you're sovereign. You know we don't, but God, we're lifting that up to you tonight. And Lord, as we think about Ronnie Vaculik, Lord, we continue to pray for his health. And we pray you touch his body, Lord, and help him with all the different things he's got going on. We pray that you just give his doctors wisdom and discernment how to best treat him, that, Lord, they would be good stewards of Ronnie's body, and they would help it get healthy and help it heal itself. And Lord, we just pray that you use these physicians, and Lord, your Holy Spirit would just flow through his body and bring healing to it, Lord, where he ails. And so, Lord, we lift up Ronnie to you tonight. We continue to pray for Ronnie Holman, and we pray him for his cancer and his delivery, his healing from that. But Lord, we're thankful that we can lift these up to you tonight. Lord, we pray in advance for this chili cook-off we'll be having over at the school. We pray in advance for safety, for protection, for just a good night for the community to come together. And Lord, we just pray you keep the sickness away, you keep the crazies away, Lord. We just pray for just a good time coming here at the end of February for this chili cook-off. Lord, we're thankful for your word tonight. Thank you that we can be in it. Pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. If you'll take, yes, sir. Okay. Oh, wow. He's got surgery. What now? Okay. He's already had one hand done? Yeah. Larry, he's still, they put him in a rehab center, but he's still just kind of plugging along. Maybe a little better, but not much. Yeah, still got a lot of congestion in his lungs. They've not come out and said he's got pneumonia or anything, but they're trying to get him up, but they were getting him up a lot more at the hospital. He's supposed to be in a rehab center, but he's not getting a whole lot of rehab there as of yet. Maybe that's about to change. All right, so let's lift up Ann and pray for Fred. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we continue on with our prayer time. Thank you, Lord, that we can, and we pray for Ann. We pray that you'd strengthen her body, Lord, in the midst of all this weight that she's lost, and that, Lord, you give the physicians wisdom and discernment on how best treat her. And then, Lord, we pray for Fred in this next hand surgery that he's got coming. We pray that it would be a success as the other hand was. And, Lord, we pray you would heal them up in the midst of all that, Lord. So we're lifting up Ann and Fred to you tonight. And, Lord, we pray for Larry as well. We pray for your healing hand upon him, that, Lord, you would help his lungs clear and give him strength in his back and in his legs. And, Lord, just let him receive the therapy. I have a desire to do the physical therapy. And, Lord, not linger or languish in the bed, but actually get up and go, Father God. We're praying for the rehab staff there, that they would really really put a focus on Larry and try to help him get better. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Leviticus chapter 9. We're beginning tonight covering the priesthood. We've been covering some offerings, some sacrifices and different things. And so now we kind of have a little interlude here. And we'll be covering Leviticus 8, 9, and 10. We'll not be starting in chapter 8. We'll be starting at the end of chapter 9. I'll invite you to stand. in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Those of you with us online, good to have you tonight. We're in Leviticus chapter 9. We'll begin reading here at verse 22, and we'll take it through chapter 10, verse 7. All right, 9:22 through 10:7. If you found that this evening, would you say amen? All right, the Word of God reads this in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22. It says, "Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them, and he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people." Notice that, the glory of the Lord. Verse 24, "Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." Now look at chapter 10, verse 1. "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered," notice what it says, "strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them." And notice again what it says in verse 2. "And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people I will be honored. So Aaron, therefore, kept silent. Moses called also to Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Aaron's uncle, Uzziel, and said to them, come forward, carry out your relatives away from the front of the sanctuary to the outside of the camp. So they came forward and carried them still in their tunics to the outside of the camp, and as Moses had said. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes, so that you will not die and that he will not become wrathful against all the congregation. But your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, shall bewail the burning which the Lord has brought about. You shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of meeting, or you will die, for the Lord's anointing oil is upon you." So they did according to the word of Moses. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the word. You may be seated. May the Lord add his blessing to it. Now, so we're beginning the priesthood, 8, 9, and 10. We're beginning here kind of in the middle, maybe 5/8 through these three chapters, picking it up here in 9, 22, taking it through about 10, 7, well, maybe even 7/8. I mean, we're getting a good jump down through chapter 10 here. But as we begin, have you ever watched someone performing a very dangerous task, and you went away from that thinking to yourself, maybe with a little grin on your face, that that person is doing what? They risking their neck, and you know what? It ain't me. It ain't me. Now, I consider myself handy, and if I can do it, I'll save a buck and do it. I've done it my whole life. If I can rotate the tires, I rotate the tires. If I can change oil, I change oil. If I can do this or do that, I do this or do that. I've got to have a tool to get it. I'll try to find a tool to go do it. But there are several occupations that even this old handyman has looked at over the years and said, uh-uh, ain't no way, no how am I going to even attempt to do that. The first one is when it comes to putting a roof on my house. The pitch on that roof, way too steep for me, brother. The last time I saw that roof roofed when we first moved in back in 2013, when they stripped the two sides are even steeper than the front and the back, they had them two little skinny boys, they had them roped off. And somebody was on the other side of the house holding them and giving them rope, and I was like, man, there ain't no way you're getting there doing that. But roofing my house, there's no way. Another would be washing the windows on skyscrapers. Friend, you can have it. You couldn't pay me all the money in the world to get up on one of them lifts, and that blowing wind, and trying to clean the windows on a skyscraper. Ain't going to do it. Ain't no way, no how. And finally, another is painting those tall bridges that cross the ship channel around here. No way, I'm not going up there, right? Now, when I pastored down in Pearland, we had an attender. He never joined the church. Him and his wife never joined the church, but they were faithful to attend. And this guy, his job was cell towers and radio towers. They would climb these things. I mean, climb them. And be tethered in, you know, and get up to the top. I go, at the top? Yeah, we're up there at the top. Well, how many people are up there? Well, you know, two or three. And then, you know, there's guys lower, and they've got the stuff that we're replacing or that we're servicing. They've got the tools. So there's four or five of, yeah, there's four or five of us at the top of these things. The cell towers aren't bad, but the radio towers, it takes a long time to get up and a long time to get down. I go, you have got to be. Now, his job, he never flaunted how much he made, but you could tell he made a living. He was extremely well paid, and his work schedule was extremely generous with his benefits and his time off. And when I think about these guys that get in these high places, do these dangerous jobs, or perhaps they go in the very deep water and they've got all that stuff on them, you know what I think? I think more power to them, man. If they can get another 5, 10, 20 bucks an hour, more power and more pay to them. Anybody who wants to risk their life in such occupations so that I don't have to do it, they have my full support. Amen? I mean, I don't want to do that. Now, let's go back to the days of Moses. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's go back to the setting that we just read here. I would imagine that if I lived or if you lived in the days of Moses and the ancient Israelites, that I would have felt, maybe perhaps you would have felt the same way about those whose occupation was the priesthood. Now you say, why is that? Well, in the text, which we're going to study the next couple of weeks, in the text we just began with this evening, the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, they were struck dead for exercising their priestly duties in a way that dishonored God, right? Also, what we read this evening, into chapter 9 and into this destruction of these two sons, what do we see? Fire comes down from heaven, consuming what was left of the people's sacrifices. And then again, we see in Exodus 10, how do these two sons die? They die by the very fire coming down from heaven. Now, you can imagine those that were in eye view of that, and those that were in earshot of that, and those that could smell the smells of all that. You can imagine that from that day forward, every Israelite looked upon the priesthood as a very dangerous occupation. Very dangerous occupation. As the Israelites of the Old Testament learn to take to God's commandments and character, to take heed of all that, as we go through this, we want to get the feel of that, right? We want to listen well to the words of our text, for these are weighty matters that we seek to cover over these next several weeks. Now, as we begin this evening, the priesthood, we want to kind of have a survey of the history of the priesthood in the Pentateuch. Now, the Aaronic priesthood is just being formally established in Leviticus chapter 8, at the beginning of it. But the concept of priesthood is not new to the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, these books written by Moses. In a curious incident in the life of Abraham, a priest king by the name of Melchizedek is introduced. Now take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 14, and we'll see his introduction there. Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. You got there? All right. Genesis 14, beginning in verse 18, the Word of God reads, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who was delivered, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' He gave him a tenth of all." Now, not until Psalms 110 is Melchizedek referred to again. But you continue on through the Word, you get to the book of Hebrews, you deal with the order of priesthood in the book of Hebrews chapters 5 through 7, and there he is alluded to again. Now, Joseph, the son of Jacob, his wife was the daughter of an Egyptian priest. Genesis 41:45 talks about that. Genesis 41:50, Genesis 46, verse 20. And then Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, was known as the priest of where? The priest of Midian. All right, Exodus 2:16, 3:1, and 18:1 in the book of Exodus. At Mount Sinai, God proclaimed that he had delivered Israel from bondage and set her apart to be a kingdom of priests, per Exodus 19:6. Now, most interesting is the fact that there was some order of priests even before the Aaronic priesthood was officially instituted. When God first appeared from Mount Sinai, but before instructions concerning the priesthood had been given, God gave these folks a warning. Now let's look at that warning in Exodus. Okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. So you're going to go to Exodus 19 for me, all right? Exodus 19. And we're going to go to 19:22. 19:22. Are you there? All right, 19:22. Exodus 19:22. Everybody there? All right. The Word of God reads in Exodus 19:22, "Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, or else the Lord will break out against them. Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Go down and come up again, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, or he will break forth upon them.'" All right, so we see that warning there. As in other instances, it would seem that the Mosaic Covenant formalized and regulated institutions and practices which kind of already existed prior to the making of this covenant. It is in Exodus chapter 28 that legislation concerning the Aaronic priesthood begins with a description of the garments, okay, which will set Aaron and his sons apart as a priesthood. Now, you're in Exodus 19. Go ahead and truck on down in Exodus and get on down to 28. Exodus 28. And let's look at verses 1 through 4. Dealing with the garments of the priests. Exodus 28, 1 through 4. If you found that, say amen. All right. Exodus chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. The Word reads, "Then bring near to yourself Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as priests to me, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister as priest to me. These are the garments which they shall make: a breastpiece, and an ephod, and a robe, and a tunic of checkered work, a turban, and a sash. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister as priests to me." In Exodus chapter 28, God instructed Moses concerning the priestly garments, which would set Aaron and his sons apart. In Exodus 29, instructions for the consecration and ordination of Aaron and his sons are meticulously outlined. So it is this chapter which is virtually mirrored mirrored by the account of the ordination of Aaron and his sons in Leviticus chapter 8. So a brief summary of these two chapters will show the close relationship they have with each other. If you want to read Exodus 29 and Leviticus 28 side by side, get two copies of God's Word out, man, you're more than welcome. See the similarities that are contained therein. Now, that's a survey of the history of the priesthood and the Pentateuch. As we move on this evening, kind of introducing this tonight, we're talking about an overview, kind of just a broad sweep of Leviticus 8, 9, and 10. Chapters 8 through 10 of the book of Leviticus describe the origin and the ordination of the Aaronic priesthood. Leviticus 8 portrays the fulfillment of God's commands pertaining to the ordination of Aaron and his sons, as detailed in Exodus 29, we just referred. The chapter highlights Moses, who until after the ordination of Aaron and his sons, Moses does what? Moses functions as Israel's priest. Okay? Leviticus 9 changes the focus from Moses to Aaron. Aaron and his sons are now commanded to offer sacrifices, first for their own sins and then for the sins of the nation. A sin offering, burnt offering, peace offering, and grain offering were offered for Aaron and his sons. Verses 1 through 17 of Leviticus 9. And also for the people, with the exception of the grain offering. That's verses 18 through 22 of Leviticus chapter 9. The purpose of these offerings is to make preparations for the revelation of the glory of God to the people. Look at Leviticus chapter 9 with me, verse 6. All right, 9:6. The Word of God reads in Leviticus 9:6, Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you." And so the glorious conclusion to the chapter, chapter 9, is the revelation of God's glory. And that's where we began, kind of 9:23-24. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And then, boom, then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and did what? They fell on their faces. Why? Well, they knew they were before Almighty God. Amen. His glory. All right. So that brings us to Leviticus 10. And we're kind of doing a broad oversweep of 8, 9, and 10. Leviticus 10 begins with another account of fire descending from heaven. But this time, it is God's judgment in response to the strange fire which is offered up by Nadab and Abihu, the two oldest sons of Aaron. Now, immediately thereafter, God gave Aaron instructions concerning drinking while on duty. Drinking while kind of on the job, verses 8 through 11. The Lord then spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean." The death of Nadab and Abihu is the most striking incident, chapters 8 through 10, and serves to dramatically convey some important principles related to the priesthood. Yes, yes, right? Now, the chapter concludes, chapter 10, with a very interesting account of Moses' protest concerning the uneaten goat of the sin offering, which was successfully answered by Aaron. And we will get into that a little bit later. Well, we'll probably get into that on Sunday evening. After verses 8 through 11, Moses gave further instructions about the eating of the sacrifices. Let's look at 12, 13, 14, and 15. Then Moses spoke to Aaron and to his serving sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, "Take the grain offering that is left over from the Lord's offerings by fire and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it. Moreover, in a holy place, because it is your due and your sons, do out of the Lord's offerings by fire, for thus I have been commanded. The breast of the wave offering, however, and the thigh of the offering you may eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you, for they have been given as your due, and your sons do out of the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the sons of Israel. The thigh offered by lifting up and the breast offered by waving they shall bring along with the offerings by fire of the portions of fat to present as a wave offering before the Lord. So it shall be a thing perpetually due you and your sons with you, just as the Lord has commanded. Now, back to this. The death of Nadab and Abihu is the most striking incident in chapters 8 through 10. That's kind of why we began with it tonight. And it serves dramatically to convey some important principles related to the priesthood. Let's think about these kind of characteristics. Nadab and Abihu were what? They were the oldest of Aaron's four sons. All right, so this is number one and number two. These men were privileged to accompany Moses and their father, along with others, to Mount Sinai, where they participated in the covenant meal with God, Exodus chapter 24, 1, Exodus 24, 9. They had recently been ordained and begun to assume their duties as priests. Now, we do not know how long they had been serving in this capacity when they were put to death, but the inference is that this incident came close on the heels of their ordination. The text does not inform us as to the precise nature of the sin of these two priests. They sinned, we are told, by offering what is called here strange fire before the Lord. Now, their transgression was, however, clearly designated as an act of direct disobedience to God's commands. They did that which he had not commanded them. Now, my understanding is that God has declined from giving us a precise description of their sin so as to underscore the more general nature of the sin. Well, preacher, what is it? What is the general nature of the sin? Well, it's flat-out disobedience. I mean, do you see that? Amen? Everybody see that tonight? Which leads me to a passage in the New Testament, John's Gospel, and that's where I'll end it tonight. And that's John chapter 14, verse 15. And I think this may be the crux of the whole matter with Nadab and Abihu. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Simple, isn't it? There was a way to offer sacrifices on the altar, and there was a way not to offer sacrifices on the altar. These two men were new. These two men, perhaps lovers of themselves. These two men, perhaps lovers of a good time, more than worship of Almighty God. And so, when their focus got off of what was the most important thing, exercising their priestly duties, God said, you can't do that, and consumed them with fire. Now, notice that when they were consumed by fire, there were still bodies left. There was still clothes left. It's almost like the fire struck them, and the fire killed them. Their bodies were taken outside the camp by their cousins, so to speak, right? And then everybody was told of the immediate family, Don't tear your clothes. Don't uncover your head. Don't you start the pity party, woe is me. Don't you start the grieving process. Don't do that. You got the anointing oil on you. You're in the holy place. If you're not careful, you're going to die. And the whole wrath of God's going to come down on the congregation, right? So tough spot, amen? Now, if you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments, amen? So, you got love for God in your heart? Amen? You got love for the Lord in your heart? Those of you with me online, you got love for the Lord in your heart, right? Amen? It's that love that keeps it going, yes? Amen? It's that love. Love for the Lord. Why do we love the Lord? That's exactly right, Frank. That's exactly right. Because he first loved us. Now, this ain't your wife saying it. You look like your wife just said it. That's exactly right. She probably didn't say that, Frank. Hey. Amen. No, that's exactly right, because he first loved us. Amen? God's love is incredible. It's amazing. It's all-consuming, right? It holds us for all eternity. God's love. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for another installment as we go through the book of Leviticus. Lord, we come to these three great chapters on the priesthood, 8, 9, and 10. We pray, Lord, as we introduce these things and then come back on Sunday night, review a little bit, and then go a little bit further into it. Lord, we pray that you bring these things back to mind and back to memory, and that, Lord, you would use the Word of God to wash us and, Lord, to equip us and to encourage us, to help us along the way, Lord. May this be meat for us to really digest and chew on and wrestle with. And Lord, as we do that, may we become strengthened in our faith, discipled in our salvation. And Lord, may we experience the glory of God, as we think about this priesthood and how they help the people of Israel experience the glory of God. We seek to bring glory and honor to your name. We seek that the nations might experience the glory of God all across this world. But Lord, it begins with us. And so, Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for how you fill us with it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you're dismissed. Amen. All right, online folks, we'll see you Sunday.